Chapter 50. A pleasant day with an unpleasant termination. The birds, who, happily for their own peace of mind and personal comfort, were in blissful ignorance of the preparations which had been making to astonish them, on the 1st of September, hailed it, no doubt, as one of the pleasantest mornings they had seen that season. Many a young partridge who strutted complacently among the stubble, with all the finicking coxcombry of youth, and many an older one who watched his levity out of his little round eye, with the contemptuous air of a bird of wisdom and experience, alike unconscious of their approaching doom, basked in the fresh morning air with lively and blithesome feelings, and a few hours afterwards were laid low upon the earth. But we grow affecting. Let us proceed. In plain commonplace matter of fact, then, it was a fine morning, so fine, that you would scarcely have believed that the few months of an English summer had yet flown by. Hedges, fields, and trees, hill and moorland, presented to the eye their ever-varying shades of deep rich green. Scarce a leaf had fallen, scarce a sprinkle of yellow mingled with the hues of summer, warned you that autumn had begun. The sky was cloudless, the sun shone out bright and warm, the songs of birds, the hum of myriads of summer insects, filled the air, and the cottage gardens, crowded with flowers of every rich and beautiful tint, sparkled, in the heavy dew, like beds of glittering jewels. Everything bore the stamp of summer, and none of its beautiful color had yet faded from the dye. Such was the morning, when an open carriage, in which were three Pickwickians, Mr. Snodgrass having preferred to remain at home, Mr. Wardle, and Mr. Trundle, with Sam Weller on the box beside the driver, pulled up by a gate at the roadside, before which stood a tall, raw-boned gamekeeper, and a half-booted, leather-legged boy, each bearing a bag of capacious dimensions, and accompanied by a brace of pointers. I say, apostrophe whispered Mr. Winkle to Wardle, as the man let down the steps, they don't suppose we're going to kill game enough to fill those bags, do they? Apostrophe, apostrophe, fill them. Apostrophe, apostrophe, exclaimed old Wardle. Bless you, yes. You shall fill one, and I the other, and when we've done with them, the pockets of our shooting jackets will hold as much more. Apostrophe, Mr. Winkle dismounted without saying anything in reply to this observation, but he thought within himself that if the party remained in the open air till he had filled one of the bags, they stood a considerable chance of catching colds in their heads. Hi, Juno, lass, hi, old girl, down, daff, down, apostrophe, said Wardle, caressing the dogs. Sir Geoffrey still in Scotland, of course, Martin? Apostrophe, the tall gamekeeper replied in the affirmative, and looked with some surprise from Mr. Winkle, who was holding his gun, as if he wished his coat pocket to save him the trouble of pulling the trigger, to Mr. Tubman, who was holding his, as if he was afraid of it, as there is no earthly reason to doubt he really was. My friends are not much in the way of this sort of thing yet, Martin, apostrophe, said Wardle, noticing the look. Live and learn, you know. They'll be good shots one of these days. I beg my friend Winkle's pardon, though. He has had some practice. Apostrophe, Mr. Winkle smiled feebly over his blue neckerchief in acknowledgement of the compliment, and got himself so mysteriously entangled with his gun, in his modest confusion, that if the piece had been loaded, he must inevitably have shot himself dead upon the spot. You mustn't handle your piece in that ear way, when you come to have the charge in it, sir, apostrophe, said the tall gamekeeper gruffly, or I'm damned if you won't make cold meat of some on us. Apostrophe, Mr. Winkle, thus admonished, abruptly altered his position, and in so doing, contrived to bring the barrel into pretty smart contact with Mr. Weller's head. Hollow! Apostrophe, apostrophe, said Sam, picking up his hat, which had been knocked off, and rubbing his temple. Hollow, sir! If you comes it this way, you'll fill one o' them bags, and something to spare, at one fire. Apostrophe, here the leather legged boy laughed very heartily, and then tried to look as if it was somebody else, whereat Mr. Winkle frowned majestically. Where did you tell the boy to meet us with a snack, Martin? Apostrophe, apostrophe, inquired Wardle. Side of One Tree Hill, at 12 o'clock, sir. Apostrophe, that's not Sir Geoffrey's land, is it? Apostrophe, apostrophe, no, sir, but it's close by it. It's Captain Boldwick's land, but there'll be nobody to interrupt us, and there's a fine bit of turf there. Apostrophe, very well, apostrophe, said old Wardle. Now the sooner we're off the better. Will you join us at 12, then, Pickwick? Apostrophe, Mr. Pickwick was particularly desirous to view the sport, the more especially as he was rather anxious in respect of Mr. Winkle's life and limbs. On so inviting a morning too, it was very tantalizing to turn back, and leave his friends to enjoy themselves. It was, therefore, with a very rueful air, that he replied, Why, I suppose I must. Apostrophe, ain't the gentleman a shot, sir? Apostrophe, apostrophe, inquired the long gamekeeper. No, apostrophe, replied Wardle, and he's lame besides. Apostrophe, I should very much like to go, apostrophe, said Mr. Pickwick very much. Apostrophe, there was a short pause of commiseration. There's a barrow t'other side the hedge, apostrophe, said the boy. If the gentleman's servant would wheel along the paths, he could keep nigh us, and we could lift it over the stiles, and that. Apostrophe, the worry thing, apostrophe, said Mr. Weller, who was a party interested, inasmuch as he ardently longed to see the sport. The worry thing. Well said, smell cheek. I'll have it out in a minute. Apostrophe, but here a difficulty arose. The long gamekeeper resolutely protested against the introduction into a shooting party of a gentleman in a barrow as a gross violation of all established rules and precedents. It was a great objection, but not an insurmountable one. The gamekeeper having been coaxed and fed, and having, moreover, eased his mind by punching the head of the inventive youth who had first suggested the use of the machine, Mr. Pickwick was placed in it, and off the party set, Wardle and the long gamekeeper leading the way, and Mr. Pickwick in the barrow, propelled by Sam, bringing up the rear. Stop, Sam, apostrophe, said Mr. Pickwick, when they had got half across the first field. What's the matter now? Apostrophe, apostrophe, said Wardle. I won't suffer this barrow to be moved another step, apostrophe, said Mr. Pickwick, resolutely, unless Winkle carries that gun of his in a different manner. Apostrophe, how am I to carry it? Apostrophe, apostrophe, said the wretched Winkle. Carry it with the muzzle to the ground, apostrophe, replied Mr. Pickwick. It's so unsportsmanlike, apostrophe, reasoned Winkle. I don't care whether it's unsportsmanlike or not, apostrophe, replied Mr. Pickwick. I am not going to be shot in a wheelbarrow for the sake of appearances to please anybody. Apostrophe, I know the gentleman'll put that ear charge into somebody afore he's done, apostrophe, growled the long man. Well, well, I don't mind, apostrophe, said poor Winkle, turning his gun stock uppermost there. Apostrophe, anything for a quiet life, apostrophe, said Mr. Weller, and on they went again. Stop. Apostrophe, apostrophe, said Mr. Pickwick, after they had gone a few yards farther. What now? Apostrophe, apostrophe, said Wardle. That gun of Tubman's is not safe. I know it isn't, apostrophe, said Mr. Pickwick. Eh? What? Not safe? Apostrophe, said Mr. Tubman, in a tone of great alarm. Not as you are carrying it, apostrophe, said Mr. Pickwick. I am very sorry to make any further objection, but I cannot consent to go on, unless you carry it as Winkle does his. Apostrophe, I think you had better, sir, apostrophe, said the long gamekeeper, or you're quite as likely to lodge the charge in yourself as in anything else. Apostrophe, Mr. Tubman, with the most obliging haste, placed his piece in the position required, and the party moved on again, The two amateurs march in with reversed arms, like a couple of privates at a royal funeral. The dog suddenly came to a dead stop, and the party advancing stealthily a single pace, stopped too. What's the matter with the dog's legs? Whispered Mr. Winkle. How queer they're standing. Hush, can't you? Replied Wardle softly. Don't you see, they're making a point? Making a point. Said Mr. Winkle, staring about him, as if he expected to discover some particular beauty in the landscape, which the sagacious animals were calling special attention to. Making a point. What are they pointing at? Keep your eyes open, said Wardle, not heeding the question in the excitement of the moment. Now then. There was a sharp whirring noise that made Mr. Winkle start back, as if he had been shot himself. Bang, bang, went a couple of guns. The smoke swept quickly away over the field and curled into the air. Where are they? Said Mr. Winkle, in a state of the highest excitement, turning round and round in all directions. Where are they? Tell me when to fire. Where are they? Where are they? Said Wardle, taking up a brace of birds which the dogs had deposited at his feet. Why, here they are. No, I mean the others, said the bewildered Winkle. Far enough off, by this time, replied Wardle, coolly reloading his gun. We shall very likely be up with another covey in 5 minutes, said the long gamekeeper. If the gentleman begins to fire now, perhaps he'll just get the shot out of the barrel by the time they rise. Roared Mr. Weller. Sam, said Mr. Pickwick, compassionating his follower's confusion and embarrassment. Sir, don't laugh. Certainly not, sir. So, by way of indemnification, Mr. Weller contorted his features from behind the wheelbarrow, for the exclusive amusement of the boy with the leggings, who thereupon burst into a boisterous laugh, and was summarily cuffed by the long gamekeeper, who wanted a pretext for turning round, to hide his own merriment. Bravo, old fellow! Said Wardle to Mr. Tubman. You fired that time, at all events. Replied Mr. Tubman, with conscious pride. I let it off. Well done. You'll hit something next time, if you look sharp. Very easy, ain't it? Yes, it's very easy, said Mr. Tubman. How it hurts one's shoulder, though. It nearly knocked me backwards. I had no idea these small firearms kicked so. Said the old gentleman, smiling, you'll get used to it in time. Now then, already all right with the barrow there? All right, sir, replied Mr. Weller. Come along, then. Hold hard, sir, said Sam, raising the barrow. Replied Mr. Pickwick. And on they went, as briskly as need be. Keep that barrow back now, cried Wardle, when it had been hoisted over a stile into another field, and Mr. Pickwick had been deposited in it once more. All right, sir, replied Mr. Weller, pausing. Now, Winkle, said the old gentleman, follow me softly, and don't be too late this time. Never fear, said Mr. Winkle. Are they pointing? No, not now. Quietly now, quietly. On they crept, and very quietly they would have advanced, if Mr. Winkle, in the performance of some very intricate evolutions with his gun, had not accidentally fired, at the most critical moment, over the boy's head, exactly in the very spot where the tall man's brain would have been, had he been there instead. Why, what on earth did you do that for? Apostrophe apostrophe said old Wardle, as the birds flew unharmed away. I never saw such a gun in my life, apostrophe replied poor Mr. Winkle, looking at the lock, as if that would do any good. It goes off of its own accord. It will do it. Apostrophe will do it. Apostrophe apostrophe echoed Wardle, with something of irritation in his manner. I wish it would kill something of its own accord. Apostrophe, it'll do that afore long, sir, apostrophe observed the tall man, in a low, prophetic voice. What do you mean by that observation, sir? Apostrophe apostrophe inquired Mr. Winkle, angrily. Never mind, sir, never mind, apostrophe replied the long gamekeeper. Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.